Have you read or heard the news lately? Well, most of it is bad news, likely to leave you depressed rather than inspired. That's what you get these days on the evening news and other news media. The good news is that there is an alternative. Dr. William Porter has provided wholesome yet compelling stories about people's experiences that many consider unusual, extraordinary, or even miraculous. Dr. Porter is an author who has chronicled stories like these in several books he has written. These stories have come to life on the Storytelling Time radio broadcast. So be prepared to hear some good news for a change. Here is Dr. Porter with today's story.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's get started with a prayer. Dear God, thank you for your presence. Help us as believers to provide the assistance to someone who might need a breakthrough because of a problem they might have. Give guidance to those who are led by your Spirit to provide help to someone other than themselves. Direct my path to do your will on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of inspiration for today is the following quotation. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is mystery. Today is a gift of God, which is why we call it present. This is from Bill Kane, who was an American cartoonist most notable for his work on the newspaper comic, The Family Circus. I'm glad all of you could be with us today. Today's show is titled Anniversary, The Trip Back Home. Yes, Maggie and John were on their way back home to Detroit after an eventful stay in Hawaii. As with Courtney and Gates, Fred, who was still in Hawaii, also prayed that Maggie's marriage to her husband, John, would improve. Like Courtney felt about husband Gates, Maggie often was dejected and hurt by John. Her self-image was already fragile, and his actions often did not help in that regard. It took a while after that night of confrontation for the both of them to cool off. They would eventually go to bed after such a busy day and combative evening. Maggie would have something to think about for a long time. When they returned home to Detroit, Maggie reasoned they would have more than enough time to think about their trouble in paradise. It certainly took a while for John and Maggie to get over their trip to Hawaii. This was especially true for Maggie because it might be a long time before she would see Fred again, she thought. The mixture of exhilaration as they sat there in the restaurant in clear view of the ocean waves beating on the shore and the outright disgust and sadness she felt as John confronted Fred that evening had taken a heavy toll on her. She could only imagine Fred's feelings toward her now, as she would try to return to some kind of normalcy when she returned back home in Detroit with her husband, John. At the same time, she realized that she too shared the blame for what had transpired. After all, she was a married woman with an apparently hypersensitive and jealous husband. But the pull that she had toward Fred was like a magnet drawing her ever closer to the man she really loved. Don't get it twisted. She loved her husband with the love of a devoted wife. But given the cool attitude that John increasingly showed toward her, especially when they were alone, made it difficult to return the love she had for him. The next morning, John gave a weak apology to Maggie for his actions the previous evening, but he seemed convincing enough for Maggie to accept his regrets. After a night's sleep, they got up the next morning for an early flight to Atlanta before returning to Chicago. After all that had transpired, Maggie still loved John. They both concluded that there are time in Hawaii was behind them, and it was time to move on. The morning of the flight from Hawaii was bright and sunny, with a narrow band of clouds continuing to hover over the mountains on the western horizon. She knew that when they arrived in Chicago, the weather would be a lot different. She anticipated the stark contrast between the mild conditions they experienced on the islands and the cold that they would face when they returned home. She just hoped that the chill would not permeate further into her marriage to John. After checking out of their room, Maggie inhaled the fresh morning breeze that came in off the ocean as they left the Village Hotel reception area for the last time. A shuttle took them to the airport. All flights were on time for takeoff. So they boarded their plane as scheduled, and soon they were airborne. It would be a long flight to Atlanta. All they could do at this point was to sit snugly into their seats, as cramped as you can get and all, and try to relax as the attendant delivered the usual instructions.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard Delta Airlines Flight 2998 bound for Atlanta, Georgia, with continued service to Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. All carry-on items should now be stowed securely, either in an overhead bin or under the seat in front of you. All aisles, exits, and bulkhead areas should now be clear. All electronic devices should now be turned off and stowed, as they may interfere with the aircraft's navigational and communication systems. Once airborne, we'll let you know when you may use approved electronic devices, but note that some items may not be used at any time during the flight. You'll find a list of approved devices in the in-flight information section of Sky Magazine. If you're seated in an emergency exit, please review the responsibilities for emergency exit seating on the back of the safety information card located in the seat pocket in front of you. If you are unable or prefer not to perform these functions, please let us know and we'll be happy to find you another seat. As we leave the gate, please make sure your seatbelt is fastened. To fasten, insert the...
Soon, Maggie would be gazing out of the small plane window where she found the majestic view of the islands beneath her just as mesmerizing as it had been when they arrived in Hawaii. She viewed the outline of the sandy white beaches next to the crystal blue Pacific Ocean, and the other smaller bodies of water that she could discern as the plane climbed in elevation. Maggie did not look forward to returning to the Windy City, where the summers are very nice, but the winter months were challenging, to say the least. Of course, in Detroit, where they lived, being only a two-hour drive from Chicago, the weather would be no different. Winters are often blustery and frigid in the Great Lakes region, requiring patience and familiarity with such a harsh environment just to carry on normal activities. We'll be right back after a break.
This is follow-up to my previous posting in reference to Life in the Spirit by Dr. William Porter. I must say that I was more than thrilled to meet with him yesterday to gain my own personally signed copy of this book. I must also say that from page one, I was captivated by his connections with practical living, real life experiences to scripture. And for me, that is a win-win situation. But look, just don't take my word for it. Actually, yeah, take my word. But also, take a look and read for yourself. Life in the Spirit, Dr. William Porter. You can also access more information online at www.WilliamPorterLife.com. Happy readings!
Welcome back. Before returning to Chicago, John made plans to stop over in Atlanta for a night to attend a musical play. A brief stopover in this city offered a short reprieve from what was to come the next day when they would arrive in the Windy City. John had planned to stay overnight, which he had mentioned to Maggie long before they left Chicago for the islands. He wanted to attend a gospel concert that was scheduled at an amphitheater near the airport. He had a special interest in the group performing because from what his father, Reverend John Sr., had told him about his grandfather, Pastor Joe. Reverend John Sr. had told his son, John, that his grandfather was a very good college athlete, having run track. But he said that his grandfather also had sung in a gospel group on the side to help support his family. It was with three other men his age, and so they formed what is commonly known as a quartet. John never heard his grandfather sing, but was curious about how he may have performed. So John saw this as an opportunity to see a gospel group, a quartet, perhaps one similar to the one his grandfather sung in. It may not have been the style of music he had been accustomed to hearing, but he wanted to hear it anyway. The group would appear in Atlanta during the evening of John and Maggie's brief stay in the city, something that his father told him about before they left Chicago for Hawaii. After an uneventful flight from Hawaii, John and Maggie arrived at the Atlanta airport, then checked into a nearby hotel. They changed clothes, took a shower, and got refreshed, had something to eat, and finished their meal at the hotel restaurant. Without getting much rest, soon they were on their way to the amphitheater for an evening of gospel music, quartet style. When they arrived, John was not disappointed.
I want to be at the meeting. I want to be at the meeting. I want to be at the meeting.
When all the saints get home after separating of the right and the wrong, I want to be at the meeting
around the throne.
Oh yes, after the separating of the right and the wrong, I want to be in the number.
Oh yeah,
when the saints go marching home, trouble will be over, sorrow will be gone, then we'll have a meeting
around the throne.
Oh yeah,
I want to be at the meeting.
Yes, I do.
I want to be at the meeting. I want to be at the meeting.
When all the saints get home after the separating of the right and the wrong, church, I want to be at the meeting
around the throne.
Get the journey, walk journey like a man, buckle my sword flat off my side, stick it in the golden sand.
Oh yeah,
talk to God the Father.
Oh yes I will.
Talk to God the Son, then we will have a meeting
around the throne.
Yes, we will.
Oh, yeah. I want to be at the meeting.
Yeah.
I want to be at the meeting.
Yes, I do.
I want to be at the meeting.
When all the saints get home, church after separating of the right and the wrong, I want to be at the meeting
around the throne.
I like this verse right here. When I get to heaven, I'll meet my mother there. This is what she'll say. God Almighty, here come a child. He must got here by prayer. I'll be at home. We'll sing a brand new song, then we will go to the meeting
around the throne.
Say it one more time.
Oh, yeah. I want to be at the meeting.
Yes, I do.
I want to be at the meeting
where Jesus is.
I want to be at the meeting
when all the saints get home. Of the right and the wrong, at the meeting around the throne. Lord, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah, showed him the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but fire next time. Listen, way back in the Bible days, Noah told the people it's gonna rain. But when he told them, they paid him no mind. And when it happened, they was left behind. I tell ya, it's gonna rain. Get ready, it's gonna rain. Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah, showed him the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but fire next time. Listen, church, they tell me when the water began to pour, they knocked on the window, they knocked on the door. They didn't know exactly what to do. Now you don't want this to happen to you. I tell you, it's gonna rain. Do you believe it's gonna rain? Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but fire next time. This is what Noah told. Noah said, I'm sorry, my friend. God's got the key. You can't get in. If something don't happen to the hearts of man, the same thing is gonna happen again. I tell you, it's gonna rain. Children, it's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah, showed him a rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but fire.
After he and Maggie heard the group sing, they sounded pretty good to him. He ended up enjoying the musical style that he had never experienced before. He could only think about how his grandfather must have sounded like in his day. Eventually, they returned to the hotel room where they got some much-needed rest before heading back to the airport later the next morning to board their flight to Chicago. Yes, the tropical paradise of Hawaii would be long gone, as well as the nice weather of Atlanta. They certainly didn't want to end up in Dallas. After their brief stay in Atlanta, they would soon be in their familiar environment of bitter, wintry weather conditions that usually prevail at this time of year. After their brief stay in this city, they would soon be in their familiar environment of bitter, wintry weather conditions that usually prevailed at this time of year. By mid-morning the next day, Maggie and John would take off for Chicago. Both of them looked forward to the weeks that were to come, back in a more familiar environment. Sure enough, midway into the flight from Atlanta, the pilot notified the passengers of the near blizzard conditions in Chicago. A short time later, the voice of the pilot announced that soon they would be making their initial descent into the Chicago metro area, where there was a high accumulation of snow. On the plane's approach to O'Hara Airport, the pilots were directed to continue circling until their specific runway could be cleared of snow for landing. The delay would take over 30 minutes. This was worrisome to Maggie because she knew what she had planned for her husband, John, later that evening. Yes, with all that she had gone through in Hawaii, she had something special planned for her husband, believe it or not. Before their plane ride back, when they were in Atlanta, John and Maggie had talked about making the 2-hour drive home to Detroit that night, directly from Chicago, the Chicago airport so they could be ready for work the next day in Detroit. But in the back of her mind, she had other plans. Maggie knew that she would not keep that arrangement. They would not go home that night at all. She figured that deceit, in this instance, would be worth it because of the pleasant surprise that she had in store for her husband. Even after the terrible incident in Hawaii, she was intent on carrying on with her life and was focused on the event that she had planned. Maggie wanted to keep her marriage intact despite how John treated her at times, because she did love him. In any case, she had made plans for the special event well before they left Chicago for Hawaii. Our special story scripture today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 33. This verse of scripture says, "But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife." The person who is married cares about the things of the world, that is, how to please his wife, or the wife pleasing the husband, according to the Apostle Paul. While marriage is a special relationship ordained by God, it does not mean there will be no challenges for a couple to sort through. There are dangers for both partners within self and outside of self. Even the scripture says that a couple should be concerned about pleasing each other, as the above verse of scripture says. But for Maggie, the danger outside of her was that John was insensitive to her needs and desires. At the same time, within herself were feelings for someone other than her husband, who would be Fred. Maggie had the responsibility of controlling her desires to be with someone other than her husband, which apparently she could not or would not do. Let's face it, she still yearned for the attention of her first love. But she had little control over how John was treating her. So, given her decision to remain with him, she gave the responsibility of changing her husband to God. While Maggie thought it might be a long time coming, she knew in her heart that a change was going to come. Yes, marriage can be a tug of war. But we, as believers, just have to do that. That is, believe that all things will work themselves out. That is, work themselves out for our good. Our virtual song of the week is coming next. Well, we'll see the next time, and remember, there's always more. More good things coming your way.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother.
said, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I could last for long, but now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know
Storytelling Time comes to you every week with exciting inspirational stories about people's experiences that are unusual, extraordinary, and sometimes miraculous. Why not join the fun? Yes, we can all add an extra dimension to our lives by reading about what others are going through. You'll be surprised to learn that their experiences are similar to some of your own. Today's story only includes portions of Dr. Porter's book, Heaven Can't Wait. Other details of the story could not be shared today because of the limitation of time. Why not read the whole account of the story? Just go to the website, williamporterlife.com, to receive information on how to order this book, as well as other books written by Dr. Porter. Yes, there's always more. More good news to read. Life in the Spirit. Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. Heaven Can't Wait, the sequel.